News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. On Mobile Mornings, good to have you along on this Tuesday.
Yeah, quick text I want to get to from Lisa, as we were talking about the number of mail carriers last year who were bitten by dogs.
Yeah, one of us was laughing about it.
Well, I was just...
I mean,
nothing against mail carriers. My laughter was not intended for that. It's just, you know, I didn't realize how many were getting bitten by dogs, allegedly. But Lisa said, I'm a mail carrier. I was bitten a few years ago. I think the increase is because more people are ordering online and we're having to go to the door much more frequently.
Wow.
Didn't think as much about that. More people getting deliveries, maybe more people owning dogs. Remember, a lot of people went out during the pandemic and got dogs.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But seems like it's a massive problem that one's talking about.
Two stories about the dogs. So one is the one I told you about when I was in grade school. I was selling candy from my Catholic school door to door, which I really enjoyed that sales experience. It's really just meeting the people of the great state of New Jersey at their door. They're very pleasant. but I knocked on one door, and it was kind of a shotgun house. And so a little the dog started screeching down the hallway because, you know, he didn't know who I was. And it was a little chihuahua.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear his claws on the linoleum. But he hit the brakes too late. And when he hit the aluminum base of the screen door, his kind of imprint, it wasn't exactly his total imprint, but he pushed.
Oh, wow.
He whacked the door.
Looney Tunes style.
Looney Tunes style. And also my brother, one of my brothers was a long distance runner, and he had to deal with dogs all the time.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he had to deal with them all the time. They're quite a nuisance.
Yeah, you don't hear about cats biting mail carriers.
No, you don't hear about cats chasing people who are long distance runners.
But if they could. If they had any kind of damage ability, they would.
They're too lazy.
809 FM Talk 106.5 on a Tuesday. That means it's time to talk with our Tuesday guest, Quinn Hillier with the Washington Examiner and online, quinnhillier.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning. I just do need to note that even now, mail carriers are still safer than Secret Service agents in the White House when it comes to being bitten by dogs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Per capita,
or having cocaine put on them.
Yeah, I wonder, can mail carriers carry like a stick? Are you allowed to take a baton with you or something like that?
I would think you could if you wanted to.
That's what I would do.
Why not?
I don't know. Quinn, a lot to get to, and today I want to start with immigration because we had a story this morning, and this is from New York. Yesterday, a Venezuelan national, and I don't know how closely you've been following this, but among many of our immigration issues, Venezuelan gangs are sending their gang members across the border. They're coming into our cities and then committing crimes, laundering money, you know, stealing a lot of things from people and then selling them, and that money and things makes its way back to these Venezuelan gangs. And they're all riding around on mopeds, apparently, up in some of these big cities, especially New York. And yesterday, this 19-year-old Venezuelan shoots two NYPD officers. Thankfully, both survived. But right after that, they found that this was an illegal alien and had a hearing in Chicago where an immigration judge closed his case. They dismissed his case, and this is happening over and over and over again, and then we've seen the crime. Well, today, the president is expected to issue an executive order, something he's been threatening for a while, I guess, to close the southern border once the number of crossings reaches a certain number per day. And they're saying that number will either be 2,500 or 4,000, but, I mean, to most of us, this is an obvious play for his election, you know, chances. He wants to make it look like he's doing something on the border, but this is a huge story. Tens of millions of people have crossed in illegally into the United States in the last 4 years.
Not tens of millions, but millions.
Tens of millions.
Maybe 10 million? Maybe 10 million?
I've seen some people say 17 to 20 million people.
Really?
Wow. No, those aren't the official numbers, but the numbers are up in the, you know, in the upper single digits of millions, which is outrageous compared to the past. Look, in 2000, it was either 18 or 19, under Donald Trump, the number spiked up for 1 year to 800 and like 20,000 or 830,000 illegals crossing, which was an astronomical number at the time. This is before the Remain in Mexico policy. And that was horrible. And now those numbers, those annual numbers, are twice as high as the worst year under Trump. So, yeah, you've had, I think, maybe 6 million or 7 million in the last 3.5 years, which is still unbelievably bad. And this executive order saying, okay, we're going to close the border after X number come through per day or per week or whatever, why not just say no?
Close the border.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nobody comes across illegally. Just, I mean, if they can do it, if they can, what, do they have a toll gate and they sit and they count the numbers and then say, oops, now we're going to get tough? If you can get tough and keep them from coming across, then keep the very first one from coming across illegally. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, I don't...
It makes no sense.
I don't get it. At first, it was 5,000, if you remember, 5,000 a day, and then it's it.
Yeah.
And we're going to get tough.
It's over.
Right now, 2,500 to 4,000. I don't get all that. I don't get the language. I don't get any of it. I don't get why it's taken. Well, there's a lot of theories on why. But in any event, I don't know what's going to happen to this country with so many of these illegals in here that are now doing a good bit of damage and crime and things like that. You have a New York City cop is shot, should have died.
Two of them.
Yeah, two shot, the one in the chest. Thankfully, he had the protection on where he did not die. But I don't, but between Mayorkas and Biden and Ida, I just don't get it.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous that the crime is happening to begin with, but then the complete hands off and let them out of jail and dismiss cases that's being done by so many of these far left judges. And they're spitting in the face of the American people, a lot of their constituents. And now we've talked about it a ton, but even these big cities where you've think most are pro-immigration, they're starting to really turn, and you can see it with Biden kind of panicking here with this move.
Yeah, I guess
well,
that's
and,
it.
But he's not panicking enough, because the answer should be, we are going to enforce the border. Anybody that gets across or anybody that tries to cross that we are capable of stopping, I mean, you know, obviously some escape detection, but if we can stop them, we will. Period. End of question. Zero. There should be a zero tolerance for illegal crossing. That's the easy answer.
Why is the easy answer so hard?
Oh, good question.
Why is the easy answer? Why is the easy solution?
Because there is a bizarre left-wing ideology thing going on that somehow says that to be illegal and cross is to somehow be a victim. There's no actual good logic from the standpoint of what is good for the United States.
Right.
There is none.
Right. Okay.
And yet there's, I mean, it's a twisted ideology, and it has to stop.
Well, it's illegal.
It's illegal. And look, I have been, you know, sort of a moderate on immigration as a whole, saying that. Almost to the fullest extent, as many that want to come legally and actually negotiate our legal process, I've almost said the more the merrier. So I'm not against immigration, but I'm 100% against every single illegal one. If the first act they do upon coming to the country is to break our laws, then we should round them up and maybe figuratively speaking, but put them in an airplane, give them a parachute, fly over their country of origin and push them out the window and say, here's how you work your chute. I mean, you know, that's a little exaggeration, but that has to be the attitude. You do not come here illegally, period.
I mean, when the first thing you do is break the law to get in, And it's called illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more, how more simple the explanation can be.
Exactly,
it's just bizarre.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. Another one, I want to get to your Lanyap story too here, maybe right after the break, but Supreme Court back in the news again, and the left, many politicians trying to have Justice Alito, well, some are talking about completely removing him from the court eventually if Democrats get the power. But when Biden tweeted, so back-to-back days last week, he tweets, the Supreme Court has tried to stop me, and they haven't been able to. I've been able to, you know, relieve student loan debt for millions of Americans. He's basically saying, Supreme Court said it was illegal, but I'm doing it anyway. Well, the very next day or 2 days later, after the Trump verdict, he says no one is above the law. So a bit of irony there in Biden's Twitter feed. But now they're all going after Alito, kind of like we saw with other Supreme Court justices here recently. But this is all about the flags he's been flying.
It's not insanity. It's malevolence. Insane means you don't know what you're doing. This is deliberate, malevolent BS. I mean, okay, that flag, the second flag, not the upside-down flag, mm-hmm. but the...
An appeal
the
to heaven?
Tree flag.
Yeah,
the appeal to heaven. Okay, if that is such a bad flag, then why until 1 week ago was it flying among the official flags at City Hall in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Crazy liberal... the crazy liberal city government of San Francisco was flying that flag, and yet Dick Durbin and Chuck Schumer and these malevolent left-wingers in the U.S. Senate say that because Alito flew that flag, he should be removed from the court. This is so out of bounds, so ginned up, so fake, that they should be removed from the Senate before Alito is removed from the court.
It's the politics in all of this is just beginning to make my I got to lay down. I mean, it just makes me swirl. It's like, wait a minute now, and I just see so much evidence on the way the news is parceled out, the way the news is interpreted in certain ways. Certainly, this is a conservative radio station, and there's things that we say that people on the left might have a problem with. Okay, that's fine. But if you really watch all the mainstream news and you watch it long enough, you watch a half hour of that, and you're going to see things that maybe in the past I would not have identified as what it was when I was younger, when I was less experienced in all sides of any argument. Now it just slaps me in the face like, my God, they're just painting a picture here, and it's plain as day.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. But look, I'm going to do a little both sides-ism. Both sides have gone crazy in their respective ways. But to do this to Alito because he flew a flag that has been around for 220 years that George Washington was proud to fly, and that even San Francisco was flying mm-hmm. a week ago, that's nuts.
Yeah, and to present the story as if it's really, boy, this is something to really think about, people.
What do you think, he's in like the KKK?
Yeah, crazy.
820 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll continue with Quinn Hilliard right after this on FM Talk 106.5. Feel free to text 251-343-0106. We'll turn up your voice here right after the next break here.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and talking with Quinn Hilliard with QuinnHilliard.com, Washington Examiner as well. And Quinn, Lanyap about, 3 weeks ago, Rob Hulbert mentioned downtown, how much it's grown, how much things have changed. But he said there's a lot could be done to make downtown Mobile better for retail, all kinds of businesses. And I believe you wrote a little something up as well with some of your ideas.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks in a row, Lanyap focused on various articles, focused on blighted properties downtown, how there's still way too many vacant buildings, et cetera. And look, I'm going to want to try to talk about this maybe several weeks in a row, if you all will have me, because no city absolutely thrives if they don't have a thriving downtown. And ours is, you know, better than it was when I moved here 25 years ago, but it needs help. I was on a city tax reform commission about 10 years ago, and we found that the high city sales tax deters retail businesses, especially local mom-and-pop businesses. And what you need to do is you need to have some sort of competitive advantage. The long story short, they should cut the sales tax just in downtown, create a, what is in effect an enterprise zone or an empowerment zone downtown, cut, say, 2 cents of the city sales tax, encourage retail to go there, and you know, they'll get back most of the money. First of all, it's such a small area, they wouldn't lose that much to the city budget. But if it encourages retail to go there, the property values go up, meaning property tax payments go up, especially from the buildings that are now, you know, now in use. Sales taxes from new businesses would come. So it really would cost the city very little. But if you lower the sales tax substantially downtown, you can attract new businesses downtown, and the whole rest of the city. This is not a zero-sum game where, oh, well, if you do a downtown, you know, then West Mobile suffers. No, if you do a downtown and you have a thriving downtown, the whole city gets a better aura. The whole city becomes a destination. So this is something they should really look into. And I'm going to be pushing this again and again and again.
It's part of the problem downtown with these buildings that, for instance, I'll try to break this down real quick. But the building is owned by Harvey in 1930, and then Harvey passes along, and in his will, that property now goes to a group of family members. And then years later, it's a larger group of family, and they can't get together on what to do with the building. And there it sits. Is that fair? Is that...
Well, yeah, that's part of it, and Rob Holbert's done a great job at Lanyap talking about that aspect of it. But the other aspect of it, there really isn't enough of a demand for the buildings to pay the amount of lease that those building owners want for their property. If you lower the sales tax, make it attractive for a mom-and-pop shop. Look, Mobile is one of the worst retail places for its size imaginable. We've lost all sorts of local merchants, and this is a way to get them back. You start downtown, you create a demand there, and then it grows.
Yeah, and we could talk about this more, you know, next week.
Please.
But would the council have to go along with that? I feel like...
Yeah. The city council would have to, you know, they'd have to make sure that they, you know, abide by state law and by the Zogby Act, but do something to make downtown an enterprise zone, an empowerment zone, whatever you want to call it, and bring the businesses back. And the existing businesses would benefit greatly as well, because suddenly, if you have a few more retail shops open, then you've got more foot traffic for them.
Yep. Quinn, let everybody know where they can read what you do.
You can Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or even easier, go to quinnhillier.com, push the subscribe button, put in your email for absolutely free.
Wonderful. Thanks, Quinn.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, there you go, Quinn Hillier. Coming back, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with us, text or phone calls. More Mobile Mornings on the way. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, coming to the text line, 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew have been making junk disappear for, 16 years now. They've been doing a great job of it. So well of a job, in fact, that they have, 274 reviews on Google, every one of them a 5-star review, which is the best you can get. And these are all left by people from around here who have used Trey's team, used 1-800-GOT-JUNK services. One that was left just a week ago, a review from Tom, 5 stars, says Austin and Rod at the Mobile location was prompt, communicative, efficient, and really friendly and professional. They worked with me as the situation unfolded and adapted to accommodate my needs. It was a great experience. And that was Tom who left that review, and there are many more like it left by people from around here, and including those of us at the station who have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK to take care of junk problems in our business here, our own homes. If you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and set up your appointment, you get a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. And once you schedule the time for them to come get it, they'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. So set that appointment up today. The phone number is 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can set the appointment up online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
836, Dan and Dalton going to the text line. Michael says the homeless downtown is the biggest reason most families don't go down there. I'm sure we have a homeless presence downtown. We have for some time. I don't know it's as bad. I know it's not as bad as some cities because I've seen those reports. Well, Boise, Idaho, of all places. I saw a story, and it was just outrageous.
Well, you were actually, when you were out a couple days, week and a half ago, I had this story about this big homeless tent city in Biloxi on the school grounds of an old
Catholic school
that's been shuttered.
Yeah.
And the people in that neighborhood are like, this is, and then I learned more and more from other people how other cities in Mississippi have massive homeless populations that you just wouldn't expect or wouldn't have seen a long time ago. And listen, there's homeless all over Mobile. I mean, you pull into, every time I pull into McGowan Park, there's somebody there at the front. And I imagine they came from, you know, the bridge down the road. And as my wife pointed out when we were driving by the other day, someone had their signs at homeless, and they had like a, you know, iPhone. It seemed to be well-dressed. It was kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
But there's homeless all over Mobile. I guess with downtown, you want it to be walkable, and that becomes more of a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I took my daughter to a dance, at a school dance thing at a church downtown just a couple months ago, and I was just going to walk. It was getting dark. I was going to walk over with her, check out. I think we were going to try to go to a candy store or something like that. And the road we turned down, they were just, you know, I don't know if they were homeless, but certainly people that didn't look like they had the best intentions that were just kind of sitting there. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I said, you know, I just don't want to deal with it. You know, nothing might happen, and odds are nothing would happen, but I've got this little girl. It's getting dark. I really don't feel like dealing with it. So I think that is certainly playing into it for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it is. It is concerning. Joseph and Rachel were moving back from Chicago. That must have been 5 years ago now. But they were going to move downtown. They were renting a place downtown. So I was more aware of everything. Like, okay, what's he getting into? You mm-hmm. know? And I had some frustrating incidents then. And yeah, if you've got a little girl, I mean, Izzy's about five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a concern. And sometimes also what I'm learning on my walks too is that they're nearly anywhere and everywhere because they're just right off the edges of neighborhoods. You found that out when you lived out government.
Yeah.
There was encampments not far from your neighborhood that you never would have dreamed were even there.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to see that they, in fact, are there. There are encampments in between neighborhoods out by Municipal Park, neighborhoods that are separated by the creek or whatever, and you never gave two thoughts that there were people in between you and that neighbor, your neighbor across, but
yeah,
there are.
Sometimes a whole city.
Yeah, right.
Know, a city of like 100 people or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, right.
But
I'm looking at this Biloxi thing. That's alarming.
It's not just Mobile, right? It's, and I don't know how bad it is in Pensacola. I haven't been over there in a while, but Nashville, I mean, pretty much any big city that's walkable,
yeah,
you're going to be dealing with that problem.
Yeah.
Right. And I haven't heard many nominees for president talking about the homeless situation.
Boy, that's true.
I don't hear nearly enough talking about fentanyl either. And I know the economy is going to be a major player in this, and that certainly plays into homelessness as well. But fentanyl, where we just have, you know, tens of thousands of people dying, hundreds of thousands over the years, it's like a war is being fought here that no one is talking about, right?
Yeah, and at the highest level, you're right. We have a presidential race coming up in 6 months or whatever it is. I can't quite do the math, mm-hmm. less than that. But so you have this presidential race on the way, And there's not much talk about that. I guess, as they say, it doesn't make the needle move.
Yeah, is that it? Is it? It's not a sexy topic. Mm-hmm. People can't. I mean, because it creates so much pain in people. I don't know, but it's. I feel like there's certain things that if these administrations, these campaigns focused on them, they'd be able to swing a massive number of people. If you just put the bullseye on fentanyl. And you said, hey, you know, we've got all of these illegal immigrants coming across the border. Now, I'm not always for handouts, certainly, but why aren't we taking care of our own,
mm-hmm.
our own that are on the streets? And, yeah. And I heard a great conversation the other day, and it's definitely not the case in Alabama and some southern states, but in a lot of these other big liberal cities where they've decided the best way to help the homeless or help the addicted is to let them continue being addicted, right? And these big open-air drug markets, basically, that we've seen in a lot of West Coast cities, that now Portland is starting to change their rules around,
going
too.
Going back.
But
they're reversing it in Oregon.
If you can help these people by trying to get them off the drugs, mm-hmm. you know, that makes up so much of this. But the mental health problem is a major one as well. And we have so many veterans who are on the streets. And there's more care and attention given to people who, they're coming from tough situations, but they're coming from tough situations outside of this country.
Yes.
Fix the tough situations inside the country.
Yeah.
And
it is. And you're right. And the why aren't the conversations being had, especially in a presidential year? And these campaigns, they're so well resourced and so well funded. They've got to know that's not the conversation that's going to get us elected.
I guess so.
And also, I think if you were going to, like, the border is one thing. You can talk about the border because if you're Trump or if you're a Republican or, you know, you have an answer. Like, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way Trump did it back in the day. And what Biden's doing right now is an obvious, you know, disaster, but it seems to be on purpose. So you have a solution. So you can talk about the problem, but you lead people to the solution. When you have some things that you're not quite sure that you can figure out, you can say, boy, we've got this terrible homeless problem. And again, where do you start and where do you stop?
Yeah.
Do you talk about mental illness? Do you talk about addiction? Do you talk about coming back from warfare? Where do you start? Where do you stop? What is the actual solution? If you don't have that, you best not begin the conversation.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we have the conversation here, but it's because we know that we're not always going to find the answer, but it's more of a discussion. And I guess you're right. When you're trying to win a race, if you don't have the answer, you're better off just not bringing it up.
I think that might be part of it.
I think that's well said. Pat said, I had to go to Tillman's Corner Walmart the other day against my will. He said, you should have seen the amount of Mexicans. I swear I saw only Mexicans. Now, it was early, but still, I was a little shocked. Lauren says, are they capable of even having a conversation? Talking about the nominees for president here. What if we used, texter here, what if we used the lodging and money we are taking care of illegals and put it towards the homeless? This texter says, could Biloxi's homeless be credited to gambling? Just asking. And that's exactly what I asked, too, when this story came out. Actually, Fox News posted this story about this homeless problem in Biloxi. And while I was pro gambling bill,
mm-hmm.
maybe the only one here that was pro gambling bill, that's the question, right? Is this homeless problem, how much of it comes from gambling being available there?
Right. What's the relationship between gambling, losing all your money, and being homeless?
Yeah.
Don't know. That story is alarming. That was while I was away, too. And, of course, we also had the homeless being bused to Mobile. Wasn't that from Biloxi?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that they were taking care of the problem, was like saying, we'll just cross state lines, drop them off, and there's part of the problem solved right there.
Yeah. Texter here says, hey, guys, as usual, Quinn enlightens you and your listeners by correcting your estimate of illegal immigrants that have entered the country in the last few years. The truth is no one knows that number, not even the great Quinn. His condescending attitude is really hard to stomach. Now, once we had that little tiff at the beginning of the segment there, he's right. The official numbers, they say, are, I think, 7 to 8 million since Biden took office.
Okay.
But everyone knows the official numbers aren't the numbers. Yeah. And there's other, you know, studies and estimates that have the number way, way higher. And, you know, imagine another 4 years of that. Because even if what he comes out and does today, this executive order where he says they'll close the border after a certain number of crossings each day, like you said, first off, what? Like how?
I know.
If you can't, okay, you're just going to shut it off like it's a online, like you're waiting online to buy something and they sell out. Like that's not how this works.
Yeah, you know, like it's you call Ticketmaster the morning of the that the tickets go on sale and you hope that you're one of the ones to get in and get your seat for Garth Brooks, right? Yeah. It's ridiculous. And why would you put a number on it and allow? At first, it was 5,000 per day. Illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
The first word in that phrase.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I had this story earlier about the Venezuelan gang member, the illegal, who shot two NYPD cops yesterday, and they're talking about all of these cases being dropped, these asylum cases being dismissed, deportation orders being dismissed. Now, the number they have here is that 350,000 illegals have had their cases dropped because they didn't have criminal records. I'm thinking,
how long they've been here?
Illegal immigrants.
Yeah, there's the crime. And then, do you really have all of their records from when they were in Venezuela? Having any idea? They don't have criminal records in the United States, so that's enough that they haven't committed a crime here yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when they do commit crimes, we've seen them dropped by DAs in the United States. Over and over again.
Look, I'm not heartless. I get it. A lot of people coming because their situations are horrible. But when you have so many nationalities from so many parts of the globe are crossing the Mexican border, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
With all the Chinese coming in and those from Europe. I mean, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything was Shangri-La and look, they come over and they're trying their best and we just need to help them. Their young families, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if we didn't have any evidence that would contradict some of that, like all this crime that's happening in cities and the residents of places like Philadelphia, Chicago, San Francisco, the residents themselves mostly vote Democrat,
mm-hmm.
but they are fed up with what their neighborhoods are turning into.
Yeah, and that's why I think you're seeing this push from Biden. Now, what he'll say once he does the order and nothing changes, he'll say, well, it's because I don't get any funding because Congress isn't willing to pass a plan to give me the funding I need to close down the border. So that's the obvious move that we'll see here over the next few months.
And if you pay attention to the news just a little bit, that works. That'll work
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people who vote a certain way. It's like, okay.
No doubt.
Tried his best.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:49 with Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. To the text line, 251-343-0106. No way I can get to all these, but Todd from Grand Bay says, it's called invasion. Everybody that comes across the border needs to be vetted. Also, unnamed texter says 5,000 illegals a day equals 1.8 million per year. So that's if we're going to hit the Biden limit every day, the original limit, which was 5,000, and then no more,
mm-hmm.
That would be 1.8 million, I should say, a year.
Yeah, and would they be able to make sure that if they do place a limit, are they going and they let 2,500 or 4,500 in, are they going to make sure that it's the women and the children, or is it just going to be, first 500 get a bobblehead, like whoever gets there? Are we going to be letting all the Venezuelan gang members in and leaving the ones who are actually, the kids, the women, leave them on the sidelines?
I don't know. And that's the little gift as they cross in, the a Mayorkas bobblehead. That's not...
not the worst idea.
Not the worst idea.
Coming up, Jeff Poor Show on the way. He'll have Jim Antle with the Washington Examiner
Love
on.
Love Antle. He's a good guest.
Also, Stephanie Holden Smith with Alabama Policy Institute. And John Wall, God willing, We get John Wall on the air with Jeff. John's been having some phone issues here recently, but he is scheduled to be on the Jeff Poor Show today.
Okay.
Texter here says they are not illegal immigrants. They are illegal aliens. They have not immigrated into the USA. I got news for you. They have. They're staying. But yes, I interchange illegal immigrants and illegal aliens. You know, everyone puts migrants in the story, but I think illegal aliens, you're right, it's probably the most accurate. Texter here says, what about the gotaways? Are they included? No, they're never included. They never include the gotaways.
That's complete estimates right there with the gotaways.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And even that, I'm not sure how they go back and look at video or something. I'm not sure how they try to estimate the gotaways, but they sure do. This story from Louisiana, and I know a lot of people are probably, you know, cheering this. A person found guilty of a sex crime against a child in Louisiana could soon be ordered to undergo surgical castration in addition to prison time. Now, a lot of states, I'm not sure if Alabama ever passed it, but they do the chemical castration, all right, where they just, I think they give them pills or something. And
yeah, and it's interesting that states that have the chemical castration, one of them is California.
Mm.
Also Florida and Texas, but California, wow.
Yeah.
But this would go a step further. This would be a little chop chop.
Yes, chop chop, as scary as that sounds. Louisiana lawmakers gave final approval to the bill yesterday. It'll give judges the option to sentence someone to surgical castration after they've been convicted of certain aggravated sex crimes. Now, they're just waiting for the governor to sign this into law, which I think he's likely to do so. Currently, around 2,200 people imprisoned in Louisiana for sex crimes against children younger than 13.
Wow.
Now, if the bill becomes law, they'll only apply it to those who have convicted a crime that occurred on or after August 1st of this year. And imposing the punishment would be by individual cases and at the discretion of judges. They said it is not an automatic punishment. But this is the part of the story that gets me right here, mm-hmm. Okay? And, you know, these are all the worst of the worst, these people, of course. But they say if an offender, quote, fails to appear or refuses to undergo surgical castration after a judge orders the procedure, if they fail to appear, I didn't know that would be an option, right? You've got them locked up.
Yeah.
They said they could be hit with failure to comply charges and face an additional 3 to 5 years in prison based on the bill's language. So is this an either-or thing? Okay, you've been sentenced to this much time in prison and surgical castration, but if you don't show up for the surgery, then we're just going to put another three to five years. I mean, that seems like a pretty obvious.
It seems like you couldn't complete that sentence before the offender said, that's what I'll do.
I'll take the time.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
But Louisiana, you know, this is a big move, and I'm sure we'll start to hear some pushback from the national media if it hasn't already started. I mean, Alabama's trying to, they talk about, and I know there's a lot of people anti-death penalty, pro-death penalty, but as far as humanely killing someone who did something really bad, you know, the nitrogen hypoxia seems like that would be the most humane way to do things. But we've seen people, of course, say that it's inhumane and push back on Alabama for that. What are they going to say about these pedophiles who are now at risk of being surgically castrated?
How about the fact that there are over 2,000 people imprisoned in Louisiana for sex crimes against children? Younger than 13. My.
The most despicable people in the world.
Man. All right, it's 8:58. We're going to have to wrap things up here. Mobile Morning's back with you tomorrow. Beginning at 6 a.m. Jeff Poor on the way next.